When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT podcast. Yeah, I know I'm late, but I'm sick and just got my voice back. Shut up, edition. Now, we have a fun episode of NXT to talk about, setting up TakeOver in Your House that's going to happen on Sunday. So this was really just a setup show for that, finalizing some matches we're going to have on the card and kind of getting those feuds to the point where we can put them on a takeover. And I think we did a pretty good job. Now, before we get started, you can always find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling and other fun stuff over there. Now, also, before we get started, we usually start with news, which is news with an exclamation mark. It's a segment that's carefully selected and curated by me, and it's definitely not me typing WWE into Google and reading you and reacting to what happened, because that would be unprofessional. But if you were going to do that, you'd see that there's WWE rumors on The Rock at Survivor Series, Edge at SummerSlam, more releases. I'm sure there are more releases, because why wouldn't we release people? It's not like we're making we've already done this. Edge at SummerSlam, that would be good. Be good to see Edge doing something. Haven't really seen him much since WrestleMania. The Rock at Survivor Series, doesn't feel like The Rock would be back for a Survivor Series, but that's where his first like official pay-per-view match was, so okay. You'd also see The Undertaker praises Roman Reigns' work as a champion. I think he's a great heel. I'm going to be really honest with you here. The Undertaker as a performer and watching him, fantastic. Nothing but respect. The Undertaker outside of wrestling, don't necessarily care to hear from him on anything. So when I hear him talking about almost anything, I don't generally read further. So, you know, predicting next former WWE superstar jump to AEW. And they have a picture of Daniel Bryan. I mean, he could, I guess. Yeah, you could. I mean, he could. It seems like he's not super big on like WWE at the moment. So, yeah, okay. Mark Henry explains why locker room morale is down in WWE. He signed with AEW. I think there's a lot of reasons that morale is down in WWE because they could all be fired tomorrow. And even if they keep their jobs, it's a objectively bad company. So that's cool. But we have NXT this week, again, setting up TakeOver in your house on Sunday. You're going to have to bear with me on the voice. I know it sounds weird. It doesn't feel good coming out of me. So we're just going to do this together. We have a recap of Adam Cole, who was attacking our three potential NXT title challengers. Also the Karrion Kross and Adam Cole face-off last week. So at TakeOver in your house, it'll be Adam Cole, Pete Dunne, Johnny Gargano, and Kyle O'Reilly all in there with Karrion Kross for the NXT title. Also, Cameron Grimes and LA Knight are going to fight. Ember Moon is also going to challenge Raquel Gonzalez for the NXT women's title. So we got a pretty good card coming up. I mean, I think that the NXT championship stays the same, and I think the women's championship stays the same. And I think our North American and tag titles are going to stay the same. We'll find out that match later. But there's a couple things here that could go either way. And this million-dollar challenge that they're doing could be fun, and I can make a case for either one. And in fact, I will later. So that's cool. Austin Theory is out first to start the night. He's by himself. Oney Lorcan's out next. Oney Lorcan is a fantastic guy to have on NXT because he's just a bald dude that likes to fight. Also, I haven't said this in a while. If you don't follow Oney Lorcan on Twitter, you need to. Most of his tweets are in all caps and recount various musings of a man that goes around looking for a fight everywhere. It's a great follow. It's a fun thing to see pop up in your feed every once in a while. So Johnny Gargano and Pete Dunne have made their way out here. This works because they're Oney and Austin's boys, but also they have some issues going on for a title coming up here. So everybody's outside, and Johnny and Pete finally start brawling outside. Austin Theory is distracted by this, and Oney uses that to pick up the win. I'm just thinking about this now. I sincerely bet that you couldn't find me another Oney Lorcan singles match where Oney wins. He would win tag matches, but if you want to make somebody look good, you put them in there with Oney Lorcan. I legitimately cannot think of a time when he just won a one-on-one match. I also love that Austin Theory is still a loser, and by that I mean a guy who loses all the time. Like, he originally couldn't beat Johnny Gargano and was on a losing streak, and Johnny offered to take him under his wing, and he's having the time of his life and does not yet realize that his luck has not turned around at all. That is sincerely fantastic, that just because he joined the group doesn't mean he wins now. He still has to learn, and the character of Johnny Gargano is not a good teacher. There's a vignette of LA Knight in a mansion with girls in a hot tub. Eli Drake is actually really good in this. This is the first time his character has felt real to me, probably because he fits in vignettes better than just throwing him cold out onto television. Eli Drake, or LA Knight, is a fantastically talented wrestler. I have some concerns about him getting Ethan Carter the thirded, where he goes through NXT quickly. Vince sees him one day, wants him on the roster, and then goes completely the opposite way when EC3 shows up and doesn't want to do anything with him. So, like, my only concern is that happens, because if you let him do his thing, he can absolutely work in WWE and on NXT, but I don't have a ton of evidence that WWE is going to give him that chance. So Cameron Grimes gets his own vignette swimming in a pool. I'm pretty sure there's a naked girl by poolside. I'm almost positive there's a naked girl by a poolside. Hey, you guys know what's fun to do while you're recording a podcast? Like, normal people would cut this part out, but that's not what we do here. A really fun thing to do during a podcast is to have to hover over the pause button and keep hitting pause because you can't stop coughing for more than like four sentences in a row. But I love you guys. So here we all are. But just know, this is all one recording. It's been about 8 minutes and I've stopped it about 12 times. This is really good. So he's got the naked girl by poolside. He lights a cigar with money and coughs. That's funny. Most of the time people do it. He tries, I'm going to guess that was bourbon, and is very much not a bourbon drinker. For a second during this vignette, I thought that Cameron Grimes was in LA Knight's house because they looked similar enough. And boy, I got to tell you, that wouldn't have made a ton of sense character-wise because he's rich, but that would have been great. We're also getting Mercedes Martinez taking on Xia Li at TakeOver In Your House as well. I think that's Xia Li's TakeOver debut. There's not a ton of a point to this match, but it should be a good match, and that's a lot of what takeovers are. We have Doc Hendricks in the back here, which is a good surprise to give us an update on the card. That's fun. We get a recap of the tag title match last week. I forgot who won for a second. I don't know why I forgot that, but it was, in fact, MSK that retained their titles. Legado del Fantasma are out in the ring. They don't look super happy. Fun note, the dudes in the back, the guy whose name I always forget and really should remember, and I don't know why I don't, but the two dudes in the back have very funny facial expressions and reactions to what Santos Escobar says. So if you're like me and you just watch Santos Escobar when he talks, do yourself a favor and don't do that. Don't look at Santos. Just look at the two dudes in the back while Santos is talking. It is so great what they do. They sell it in like an actual funny way and not in a WWE funny way. The WWE funny way would be like, it makes Vince laugh, but it's not actually funny. Bronson Reed almost immediately interrupts and starts playing the clip of him smashing Escobar. He plays it one more time, then a third and a fourth and so on. He does a lot of WWE-style jokes that essentially boil down to, I hit you so hard that a lot of crap came out of you, because Vince thinks that's very funny, and I guess Triple H also thinks that's a little bit funny. The first part is that it's not funny. And humor is objective, but not really here. It's just kind of, I'm not even mad, like I'm not offended by it. It's just devoid of humor. And that's a problem for me, you know? And also it makes Bronson Reed look like an idiot, that's all he has for this person who's going to challenge for his title. Like, this is already silly. He doesn't need to do terrible jokes. Real jokes can work. Bad ones, not as much. Escobar wants Bronson Reed to come down to the ring and try to do it again. Bronson Reed comes down, and as he's getting in the ring, MSK join him. Legado del Fantasma clear out. Escobar laughs, and he says, I should have known these two would come out. He said, I'm going to take your North American title, and they're going to take their tag titles. Let's do it all in one match. A six-man tag with these two teams, and the winning team takes all the titles.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at chumbacasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
MSK and Bronson Reed agree to that, even though that's a terrible decision for them and everybody, really. This, if this dude gets pinned, I also lose my titles, is weird. But that's a fun way to do this match. You could have made two matches out of this, but it's kind of interesting to put them all in the same match. Clearly, all of these groups work well together and against, or rather, yeah, with each other and against each other. So, yeah, I haven't seen a six-man tag for all the titles in a long time. I love that for TakeOver In Your House. Poppy's here in the back. I don't know if Poppy is a wrestling fan, but Poppy is very good on wrestling television. Sometimes you see people make an appearance on the show and you could tell that they are not a fan of wrestling. And listen, I get it. It's not for everyone. It's not for most people most of the time. So I never am mad at somebody for not getting it. But at the same time, you can always tell Poppy, whether it's because of the character that she already is or if she's a fan of wrestling, every time she is on NXT television, she doesn't take away from it. She adds to it, and she's fun to have around. It's interesting. Candice LeRae is being interviewed with Indy at her side. She's mad because the interviewer asks her about Poppy, and she's mad that they're, in general, focusing on Poppy. Indy still loves Dexter Lumis and runs off to go find him because this is still a gross story. And we cut from that to Ted DiBiase arriving at the building with his, looks like a security detail behind him. We're going to find out why he needed that security detail in a little bit. But as of right now, he just has a security detail of indie wrestlers with him, or training center wrestlers. It's always funny. If you ever see security, especially security or like cops at a WWE show, the dudes who are playing security guards are absolutely either independent wrestlers or training center people that they use now. So it's always funny to keep an eye out. Like CM Punk was in John Cena's WrestleMania entrance one time. Alexa Bliss, Charlotte, and Sasha Banks were like a gross part of Triple H's entrance one year at WrestleMania. If you see somebody's face clearly in somebody's like WrestleMania entrance or in something like this, chances are in like 5 years, if they got it right, you'll be able to go back and find it. So DiBiase is here and has an announcement tonight. Before that, we're in the back and William Regal and Triple H are welcoming Poppy to NXT and thanking her for making the basically mini album for NXT and releasing the exclusive songs. That's cool. Triple H says he loves the new music, all the tracks. Side note, there's no way Triple H listens to Poppy, which led me to, and this is the part I need your help with, at ZachNXT on Twitter, at ZachNXT. When I tell you to picture in your head Triple H on a quiet, like, day at home, like he's about to leave for work and he doesn't have any work calls and he's trying to just listen to music, like not even necessarily to hype himself up, just casual music he puts on. What the hell does Triple H listen to? Because like, could be the Allman Brothers, could be just Motorhead, could almost kind of be hip-hop in a weird way, like 90s hip-hop. I could picture Triple H listening to anything except Poppy. I'm going to take hip-hop off, too. I think he's a little bit lame for that. And believe me, that's not a judgment. That's just looking at him. It's probably all like Allman Brothers and like Motorhead and Metallica, right? Triple H like, doesn't drink much, doesn't do drugs, doesn't get into trouble, really. He's kind of, like, just, like, a straight man in life. Like, even when he was in the clique, the other ones were the rowdy ones. So I could absolutely see him just listening to his Metallica, his Motorhead, and being like a metalhead that never like acted on any of those impulses. But what in the hell does Triple H listen to if he's got headphones in? I don't know, man. Poppy drops the album right now on TV. That's a fun bit. Triple H is flabbergasted that you can release an album online, and less than sneakily, but intentionally so, mentions that it's on Spotify, Apple Music, so on and so forth. So Dexter Lumis walks up. Regal and Triple H take like a half step back. That was very funny. He and Poppy have a stare down for a second, and then Dexter has drawn Poppy a picture. I don't know if it's of Poppy, but Poppy looks at it and smiles and thanks him and gives Lumis a hug, and it's a way too long hug, and Lumis's eyes are all wide. Indy walks up exactly at that moment and freaks out and runs off because this is gross. But I don't think Lumis ran after her. I think he just kind of stood there and stared at Poppy. So we have the gross Andy Hartwell story and also now a super weird Poppy Dexter Lumis thing going on. So that's cool. Poppy's really good on NXT TV. If she shows up more, I am fine with that. She's an interesting person and act and character, and that translates really well onto dysfunctional ass wrestling. So I'm here for it. So also, Regal and Triple H are really, really funny together. Triple H is fully embracing the out of touch dadness of himself. William Regal said welcome to NXT at the beginning and didn't talk again for that whole segment and was the funniest part just with his facial expressions. You forget how funny William Regal is because now he's a serious, like, general manager of NXT and he doesn't do comedy a ton anymore. But that dude, as good as he is at being intense and being a really good wrestler, he's really good at being funny. And that's hard to do. And he was never WWE funny because that's not funny. But he's really freaking funny. And he doesn't get a chance to do it a lot anymore, but it's great. Cut to outside. Cameron Grimes arrives to the building, and LA Knight pulls in right after him. They're told DiBiase is waiting on both of them in the ring. Cameron Grimes said LA Knight looks like a waiter because he's looking out here hunting for tips. He waves money in LA Knight's face, and LA Knight slaps it out of his hands. LA Knight comes out to his theme, and Cameron Grimes immediately makes him stop the music and play Cameron Grimes' theme, which is a better theme. And they both walk down to the ring. DiBiase is waiting for them there. The announcers tell us it's a priceless announcement tonight. So, like, do you get it? Like, it's priceless because, like, it's Ted DiBiase and everybody has a... Okay, I was just making sure you got it. All right, so he brings Cameron Grimes and LA Knight into the ring. He said, this Sunday is the ultimate test. Both of you need to prove yourselves worthy. It's time for you two to literally climb the ladder to success. They drop in a ladder from the ceiling that I did not see a minute ago because it's the Million Dollar Man, and you are for sure he's not doing that himself. He's not going to get a ladder and set it up. He's going to be real extra about it. And you know that character-wise, that means that he came to the building earlier, had paid off the people to let him in, had his people hang that up, and then looked at it to make sure it was the right height. So, like, Ted DiBiase's been to this building, kayfabe-wise, twice today, which makes that a lot funnier when you think about him coming in and watching them set that up, because he's rich. So, and also the ladder is solid gold. That's fantastic. Now, is it probably just painted gold? Yeah, we're not stupid. We're not stupid, but I would tell you that if we were in, like, the late 90s and this were happening and, like, we had 90s Vince McMahon, he probably actually would have purchased enough gold to melt into a ladder. Vince McMahon is an insane man who, when was it Austin who put the cement in the topless car? Like, Vince insisted on having that be a nice car that they bought just for that, and you didn't have to do that. If this were like 1998 or 9, Vince McMahon absolutely would have commandeered a solid gold ladder. So, Ted DiBiase is in the ring. LA Knight cuts his promo. It's really weird to me that LA Knight is so good in that vignette, and then he does the promo on NXT, and it's doing nothing for me because I love Eli Drake. I'm a big fan of his. I understand he sounds like The Rock and Stone Cold. I don't care. He's got his shtick, but so does almost everybody in WWE. He's a really interesting talker to me. He's a really interesting worker, and I think he could be a big star. He never feels like one on NXT, and I don't know why, because he just did in that vignette. But then you put him on television, and it doesn't feel that way. And it's not, I don't think, anything he's doing. So this isn't like he doesn't have what it takes. He does. I don't understand why it's not translating. I don't know if it's because he's not really a character yet, or he hasn't been in a good story up till now. I don't know what's going on, but I'm really nervous about it, and I want him to do well, so this is a good place to be in. Cameron Grimes says that you said it's not about the money or any of that. It's about what you do in between these ropes. And if I'm going to climb the ladder to success, I'm going to climb it all the way to the moon. And he cuts a really good promo. He says, when Cameron Grimes is in between these ropes, nobody's better than me. When I'm in between these turnbuckles, nobody's better than me. Really good promo from Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes climbs like a couple steps up on the ladder. He says, but Ted, I look up and I don't see what I'm supposed to be reaching for. So what's going to be up there? And then the security detail comes in with like a black mini briefcase looking thing, and Ted DiBiase says you need to crawl and grab and with every fiber of your being fight to win this, and it's the $1 million title. And I don't know if it's the old $1 million title or like a recreated one, but it looks cool. They both, LA Knight and Cameron Grimes, sell that title really well. They sell it like it is a really big deal, and they cannot believe they're looking at it. And you can immediately tell they both really, really want to be champion. They're staring each other down with DiBiase and the title in the background, and they talk smack back and forth. This is very, very important to both of them, and this is exactly what it needed to be to make this important. So, like, in reality, the $1 million title was a title created for the character of Ted DiBiase, who was essentially Vince McMahon. So, like, people always said that if Vince could have actually performed one of the gimmicks that WWE came up with, it would have been the $1 million Man, because it's the closest to him. And what do we do with the $1 million Man gimmick that is Vince McMahon? For some reason, they don't immediately make that guy champion. He, in fact, is never the champion. He works with top guys. He is not one himself. It's a weird thing. If you told me that Vince McMahon, like one of the talents reminded him of himself, I would bet you so much that within the next couple months they were going to be champion. And this is a guy whose literal gimmick is Vince McMahon, and he was never the champion. But because he was never the champion, they created the $1 million title for him. Now, the $1 million title doesn't mean anything except that it's worth a lot of money, and I guess it shows that you have a lot of money because it's money. The $1 million title, like, by itself, outside of like the storyline, doesn't mean anything. It's a thing Ted DiBiase had, and then Ted DiBiase Jr. had it. Stone Cold had it for a minute when he was the ringmaster. Like, it's not a prestigious title, except that it's attached to Ted DiBiase. But these two dudes sold it so well that it feels like a big deal that one of them is going to win. Now, you can make a case for either one. Cameron Grimes is the better character right now. He's on a better trajectory. LA Knight could probably be more of an a-hole with it. I think LA Knight should win because I think he needs it a lot more than Cameron Grimes does. But I think Cameron Grimes might win it. My official pick, I guess, is LA Knight because I want him to win. But I don't know. It could be either one of them. But they sold it so well that I care more than I already did. And that's the whole point. So we cut to the back, and Karrion Kross and Kyle O'Reilly are being pulled apart by security in the back. So Candice LeRae is about to make her entrance and says she hopes Poppy is watching this. She's now in the ring cutting a promo on Poppy, who is a singer. She says that she can either come out here and face her now, or she can give her an introduction to the NXT parking lot, which is a hell of a thing to say as a professional wrestler to a singer. The lights go out. I'm assuming a Poppy track plays. Lights go up. Poppy walks out. Doesn't feel like weird at all, like she's been on stage before, so it's not foreign to her. She's very natural at it. This is a lot of praise for Poppy on a wrestling podcast, but she was just really good, and I don't see Poppy in a lot of stuff, but Poppy's really good, man. I don't listen to her music a lot. I need to, because she seems cool. Unless she did something terrible that I don't know about, in which case, please redact all of that. So the lights come up, and Poppy says, "I don't wrestle, but I know someone who does." The way she said it was really cool. Io Shirai is back, and Io Shirai is really hyped to be here. They walk to the ring together. Poppy takes off Io's jacket for her like a prize fighter. Io takes out Candice. Again, Io's real, real excited to be back, and it is great to see her. Io and Poppy dap each other up. Poppy and Io are weirdly good together. Would not necessarily have called that beforehand. Doc Hendricks is back. Whoa, nailed that, huh? Doc Hendricks, there it is back for the In Your House Slam Jam. I'm going to be honest, I had to write this the second time because I couldn't remember what he called it the first time. The only update here is that added to the card is Bronson Reed and MSK versus Legado del Fantasma for the North American and tag titles. And next is Ember Moon versus Dakota Kai. Now, as I wrote this note, the match had not happened, but I bet that Dakota would either lose or look really stupid after. And what do you know, Ember Moon was just about to win and Raquel boots her and they get disqualified. Cool. So actually both happen because Dakota gets disqualified and loses and looks dumb. Cool. That's the checklist. So Ember and Raquel brawl to set up their match at In Your House, and Dakota Kai will go on to do nothing. That's cool. Karrion Kross and Regal are in the ring. Regal is so mad at everybody in this and is so sick of all of them. He is like a dad with high blood pressure that has kids that are rambunctious, and he's just on his last leg with all of them. Regal is a national treasure. Before anything can really happen, Kyle O'Reilly is out to interrupt. So at this point I wrote, so are we going to do the thing where everyone comes out? And O'Reilly says Kross has thin skin and also thinks he's insecure. And just a nothing promo. And this was probably the second best one. Yep, now Johnny's out from the side, so we are indeed doing that thing. He gets on the announce desk, which is pretty funny. Beth Phoenix's reaction to him just jumping up there was good. Johnny essentially cuts a whole promo about Kross not being a great worker. Kross says, Johnny, listen, Mark, that's cool. That's really cool. Calling people a Mark in 2021 is really cool stuff, guys. It's really cool stuff. I tell you what it makes me want to do is watch them fight in a professional wrestling ring, which would make me a Mark. So I'm not sure how to reconcile that in my head. If you don't know, a Mark in wrestling parlance is like a lame, way too into it fan. Like it's a way to say you're being an idiot or taking this too seriously, or you're a whiny internet wrestling fan in 2021. We're still doing it. It's pretty cool. Makes me want to watch them fight. Pete Dunne comes out from another corner, tells them to shut up, and boy, do I agree. Adam Cole's now on video because he's a smart guy. Cuts a promo, man. He sure does one. Listen, this is going to be a really good match. This didn't do anything. This is weird as a go-home show segment for your NXT title match because it makes everybody look stupid. Kyle O'Reilly isn't promo-wise made for this kind of stuff. Johnny Gargano is, but they have decided to have him focus almost exclusively on his work rate being better than Karrion Kross's, like that's ever mattered in the history of this business. Pete Dunne is just kind of there and wants to fight but doesn't do anything about it. And then Adam Cole is his, like, naturally, like, good smarky or snarky? Snarky. Yeah. Self. But his words have no sting to them. And it's really just here so that Adam Cole can get off the video, and Kyle O'Reilly says that Adam Cole's going to be a B-word, because if you want to stir up trouble, call somebody a B-word. And says he's not coming tonight, but he says, that's just not me. And Cross says, that's not you. So who are you? And O'Reilly slaps him, and they all jump in. Actually, Johnny stays on the announce table until he has a chance to take out Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne by themselves. Like, Karrion Kross gets knocked out of the ring, and then he jumps in, because he's very smart and he's a very good wrestler and knows that they're on TV and does little stuff like that all the time, and it's great. Kross eventually takes them out and stands over them with the title, and he says one, I'm pretty sure he says one versus everyone, before he can celebrate too much. Adam Cole's in from the side, surprise attacks Kross, because again, he's a smart guy. Kicks him, does the knee to the back of the head, which I always forget. I don't think that one's a Panama Sunrise. I think that's the Code Red. I don't know, man. Hits it, grabs the NXT title, and is standing over everyone's bodies. Does the Adam Cole bebe as we go off of the air and into TakeOver In Your House. Now, I'm excited. Again, Twitter, at ZachNXT. Are you excited for these matches? Do you think there's going to be any surprises? I'd love to hear about it. But I'm excited to watch the show, and I'm excited to talk about it some next week. In the meantime, I want to thank you very much for listening. We got through this together. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.